Our first case is Bobby George, Billy George, versus McDonough, 2020-1941, Mr. Carpenter.
May it please the court. Thank you, Your Honors. I appear on behalf of Joyce Billy, the surviving daughter of the appellant, Mr. George, who unfortunately passed away during the course of his appeal. This matter involves an interpretation of the regulatory scheme created by the Secretary under 38 CFR 3.156C. None of the actions taken by the Secretary after the Secretary's receipt of relevant Service Department records in this matter constituted a reconsideration of Mr. George's original 1997 claim for service connection for post-traumatic stress disorder. This appeal is about the process required to be performed by the Secretary following his receipt of such Service Department records.
Mr. Carpenter, you cast this as a legal issue, as you must properly be here, concerning 3.156C. But isn't it basically about Q, fact question? Q?
The proceedings before the Veterans Court were in the nature of a review of a board decision that denied revision of a prior board decision. But the board decision was based upon a question of law, which the board said had no merit. Mr. George appealed to the Veterans Court a factual question about whether or not the board's decision to deny revision was based upon a misinterpretation of the provisions of 3.156C. So this is not a factual matter. This is a straight question of regulatory interpretation that is squarely within the jurisdiction of this court.
But don't we need to review the Veterans Court's decision that it lacked jurisdiction to consider your primary Q claim that you argued before the Veterans Court in light of the Veterans Court's conclusion that that was a brand new Q claim? And it was unlike in character the actual Q claims you raised before the board?
That is not what I am asking this court to review. The decision below said that the reviewing judge interpreted several options as to what was in fact being presented.
Right. I guess we first have to figure out for ourselves what can you properly argue at this point.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so can you please walk us through what it is that was part of your Q claim that you actually filed in 2015 to challenge the board's 2014 decision that is properly in front of us today.
What is properly...
Judge Chen, may I stop for a moment? I don't think the clock is running. Please continue, Mr. Carpenter.
The matter that's before this court is the matter that was presented to the board in the request for revision, as was the matter that was presented to the Veterans Court. It has all been about whether or not...
Well, it's your Q claim. Let's just...
Right.
Let's just talk about the Q claim you filed in 2015 challenging the board's 2014 decision.
Right. And that...
What elements in that 2015 Q claim are you arguing today?
The interpretation of 3.156C.
And where in that 2015 Q claim is there an argument that that the board in 2014 failed to properly apply 3.156C in the way that you're arguing now? My understanding is now you are arguing that the board didn't actually reconsider your original 1997 claim. But as I understand your 2015 Q claim, you were arguing things like the board in 2014 improperly considered the lay testimony and also was too stringent in searching for a particularized onset date of PTSD before the 2003 diagnosis. So if I'm understanding your Q claim correctly, it sounds very different in character compared to what you are now arguing.
Your Honor, while that is a fair statement, I do not believe that that is, as the Veterans Court determined, the correct understanding of the question of law that was being presented in the appeal to them of the denial of that revision. The question that was presented to the Veterans Court was whether or not the board, in arriving at its decision to deny revision, based upon the allegations that had been made.
You know, when you say deny revision, the term is a little vague to me. So and because we're talking about so many different board decisions, sure, and veteran courts decisions, I get lost that immediately. Peg dates to certain things, like a 2015 board decision, a 2014 board decision, a 2013 board decision, then I'll be able to follow along what you're actually saying.
I apologize, Your Honor. The 2014 board decision was challenged by a request for revision, which resulted in a denial of that request for revision based upon an allegation of Q in the 2015 board decision. It was the 2015 board decision which was appealed to the Veterans Court. What was appealed to the Veterans Court was a question of law as to whether or not when the request for revision was rejected by the 2015 board decision, was that a misinterpretation of 3.15?
And then there was a 2019 Federal Circuit decision that remanded that that veteran court decision back to the Veterans Court because we had some doubts on whether the Veterans Court had jurisdiction at all to consider the actual argument you presented to the Veterans Court.
That's correct.
And then the Veterans Court in this 2020 decision that was now on appeal said, no, we did not have jurisdiction after all in considering the very issue that had come up here to the Federal Circuit in 2019. Is that right?
That is not the way I understood the decision made by the Veterans Court. The way I understood the decision by the Veterans Court is that it made an analysis of the theories under which they did and did not have jurisdiction. And they decided that there was, in fact, jurisdiction under one of those theories as they understood it. And they made a decision based upon that theory with which they had jurisdiction and did not make a decision on the theories that they said did not.
And that the one thing they found that it had jurisdiction to consider was a direct review of the 2015 board decision. Is that correct? Fair to say?
That's correct.
So anything with regard to the 2014 board decision through a Q claim challenge was out the door.
No, Your Honor.
Because it found that the three things that you did argue, most of it you didn't continue to pursue, and then the new argument, the new Q claim that you argued, was improperly before the Veterans Court.
Well,
at least with regard to the 2014 board decision.
With respect, Your
Honor. But then it entertained a direct review possibility of any defect with the board's 2015 decision.
But it is the 2015 board decision which was being appealed. It was not the 2014 board decision that was being appealed. The question was, did the 2015 board decision correctly consider and apply, or did they in fact misinterpret the regulatory scheme under 3.156C? That was the issue that was presented in the appeal to the Veterans Court originally. And I believe that that was the decision that they ultimately decided to review that they had jurisdiction for. Because as has unfortunately evolved in the context of Q, the specific pleading requirements have become so difficult to present because they're so much subject to, as this case clearly demonstrates, to attack relative to specificity. The only allegation that needs to be made is that the evidence of record at the time of the decision, in this case the 2014 board decision, was not made correctly in accordance with law. That there was a statute or a regulation that was not correctly applied. The board in 2014 made that error as alleged by Mr. George. The 2015 decision said that that argument, any argument about the decision, was without merit. That constituted a misinterpretation of 3.156C. In order to obtain judicial review, Mr. George was entitled to a review of that question of law. And I believe he ultimately got it from the Veterans Court, and they simply got it wrong.
Mr. Carpenter, yes. the 2014 decision and process, if we look at it standalone, forget about the 2015, and if we consider just the 2014, would it be fair to say we don't have jurisdiction over the decision that the board made in that case?
Yes, Your Honor. Sure, because it's final until revision is granted.
That became final.
Yes.
So we have no jurisdiction. And you're saying I'm not raising the 2014 issue before you. It's only the 2015.
That is correct, Your Honor.
But the 2015 decision is all, seems to me to be all fact-based, or the application of facts to law. And we don't have jurisdiction in that circumstance either.
Yes, Your Honor, except that I do not believe...
You add substance to your argument by relating back to the 2014 case, but we've already decided, you and I, that we have no jurisdiction over that. So you're stuck only with 2015. And show me what's a legal issue in 2015.
At the appendix at 155 is where the 2015... decision appears. And the conclusion of law was that the 2014 board decision denying entitlement to an effective date earlier than September 19, 2013 for the grant of service connection was not clearly and unmistakably erroneous.
What page are you reading?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Appendix 159.
159.
In explaining that decision, the board
the opinion that we're reviewing says that the board in 2015 applied the correct legal principles. It addressed the various steps taken after VA received the records, namely obtaining a retrospective medical examination, considering other evidence.
Yes, Your Honor, and that is a misinterpretation of 3.156C, because you don't get to the retrospective opinion until C4, in the regulatory scheme. You have to get through C1, 3, and 4 to get to 4. C1 is what is at issue in this case, and C1 requires a reconsideration of the 1997 original claim. That never happened in this case, and that was an error of law. That error of law relied upon...
When you say it didn't happen, what... Can you describe specifically, mechanically, what needed to happen that did not happen when you say the word reconsider? Because assume for the moment that I look through the entire history, and it does look to me that the claim was reconsidered. And it did look to me like they tried to, that the VA tried to go back in time to figure out what's the proper effective date, and they ultimately concluded there could not be an earlier effective date than 2003.
And therein lies part of the problem, Your Honor.
So just please describe to me what it is that needed to happen that did not happen.
What needed to happen was that in July of 2007, at pages 57 to 62 of the record, the Secretary received relevant Service Department records. At that point in time, under the mandate of his own regulation, the Secretary was required to reconsider. The Secretary did not. The Secretary...
When you say... you keep saying the word reconsider, yes. But I don't understand what you think that requires, what you think that means.
What I think that requires is a new adjudication of the original claim. that the 1997 claim in this case needed to have been re-adjudicated anew.
So when the VA in 2007 said, okay, we've got service records that established that this person had an in-service stressor.
Yes.
We also have a 2003 diagnosis of PTSD. We're going to reach a conclusion that there's a service connection between this new diagnosis of PTSD and his in-service stressor way back when.
Yes.
And so therefore, this person is entitled to disability benefits of a certain rating for PTSD. Why wasn't that a reconsideration in your view?
Because it was a reopening determination under the provisions of 51.
I understand you want to use different words. Well, there's a thing called reopen over here for 3.156A, and then there's another thing called reconsider for 3.156C. I'm trying to figure out as a substantive matter, as a mechanical matter, what is really the difference between the two in this context. And I'm thinking right now about our Jones opinion.
Yes. The difference is what is done by the Secretary. And what is done by the Secretary under the mandate of 3.156C is, in the words of the regulation, if the VA...
Consider the original claim that was denied. Yes, I understand that. But I'm trying to figure out why, what, how would it have looked any different than what actually happened?
Well, with respect, Your Honor, the concluding phrase is, notwithstanding paragraph A. What happened here was they continued under paragraph A and ignored the mandate of paragraph C. That cannot be lawfully done under the correct...
But you keep saying this, but I don't understand what they needed to do differently than what they actually did when they found that your client was entitled to benefits because the new PTSD diagnosis was in fact service-connected to an in-service stressor.
Well,
Your Honor, mechanically different needed to happen? I don't understand.
What mechanically different needed to happen was, instead of looking at the narrow window from the date of reopening, from the date of request for reopening in 2003, they needed to look at the full period of time from 1997. That didn't happen when the decision review officer made his decision in 2007. And the record confirms that although there is a reference to receipt of those services...
Is there some evidence that was overlooked? I mean, I don't understand what was overlooked.
What was overlooked is the right to an adjudication of the 1997 claim. What was adjudicated in 2007 was the 2003 claim. Those are different claims.
You don't think the VA was trying to figure out if there was a way to get the benefits effective date back to 1997?
No, Your Honor. Because
that's exactly what it was trying to do when it ordered the retroactive medical evaluation to see if there was a way to get the PTSD diagnosis confirmed with some relevant amount of certainty back to an earlier date before 2003.
But that was done in 2013 after an appeal repeatedly to the board where the board kept sending the case back to the VA to re-adjudicate. When they re-adjudicated after the second remand in 2000, was the second remand. The board made a finding only that new and material evidence had been received under 3.156A and that the claim was reopened. It could only be reopened from 2003 under paragraph A. It could not be...
Your time has expired, but we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Ms. Finnan.
May it please the Court, on behalf of the Secretary, we ask that the Court dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. The veteran, through his daughter in this case, is appealing the 2020 Veterans Court decision. And as the panel intimated in questions to my opposing counsel, the veteran is not ultimately challenging any of the holdings of the Veterans Court or the 2015 Board. He purports to be challenging the 2015 board, but in substance is actually challenging actions of the 2014 board, the 2013 board, and actions of the VA in 2007 leading up to those 2013 and 2014 boards. All of that is final and unappealable and would be properly before this court only through a Q claim, which, pursuant to this court prior remand to the Veterans Court determined would require a distinct Q claim, which was not present on this record. Notably, the veteran now before this court does not challenge that aspect of the Veterans Court's decision. So in March 2020, the Veterans Court found a distinct Q claim was required. That is not part of the appeal in this case. So that decision would also stand. Even if this court should find that some sliver of jurisdiction continues to exist that would sustain an appeal in this court, we submit that it should be dismissed, the appeal should be dismissed in any event, because as I mentioned, what is actually argued here is not the actions of the 2015 board, but actions of the earlier boards and actions of the VA even prior to that.
I think you may have heard counsel concede or accept that we would have no jurisdiction over the 2014 decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything in the 2015 decision that's different that should have been argued or connected to the 2014 arguments?
No. So the 2015 board sat for a very specific purpose. It sat to consider the veteran's 2015 Q motion, which raised three evidentiary-based challenges to the 2014 board.
But was that argument, the Q argument, ever before the board?
Yes. So the 2014 board was the sort of seminal board that made the final determination of service connection and the effective date after we submit reconsideration and a retrospective opinion, right? So the 2014 board decision is the substantive seminal decision. Following that 2014 board decision, a year passed, it became final and unappealable. After that year mark, the only way to challenge the 2014 board was through a Q motion. The veteran filed a Q motion in 2015, but that Q motion, by his own admission, both in briefs in this court and before the Veterans Court, raised three very distinct Q-based challenges.
Fact questions.
The first was a challenge the 2014 board's handling of the veteran's lay statements. It's an evidence-based challenge. It also challenged, as Judge Chen noted earlier, had two challenges to the specificity required to determine the onset of PTSD, which were two other evidence-based challenges. And as the 2015 board concluded in reviewing those two challenges, in substance, they were challenges to the weight that the 2014 board gave to those matters, right? It was a purely evidence-based challenge. What we are now talking about is a procedure-based challenge. So when the veteran came up to this court 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, the court found, hey, wait a second, this sounds different. We're going to remand to the Veterans Court to figure out if this requires a distinct Q claim, this procedure-based claim.
And he calls that a legal question.
He calls it a legal question, yes. A legal question can certainly be directly appealed within the timeline for appeal, or if outside the time for a direct appeal, through Q. In substance here, we have a challenge not to the 2015 board, but to the 2014 board, the 2013 board, 2007, and so on, all the dates that we just talked about.
The Veterans Court, though, did something a little funny when it then took on a review of the 2015 board decision to see if the 2015 board decision correctly applied the legal principles of 3.156C. So in a way, I mean, the Veterans Court appeared to open the door and address and pass on the question of whether the board understood that you needed to do a reconsideration, that the VA needed to do a reconsideration under 3.156C and not classic reopening for new material evidence under 3.156A.
Right. So this court, I think, can view that discussion in the Veterans Court decision in any number of ways. Arguably, it is dicta. It was not necessary to the decision, right? The Veterans Court, perhaps in an effort to be thorough, given the complicated procedural posture of this case, you know, gave some arguments in the alternative. I don't think it's necessary to the decision here, but even if we say hypothetically, the Veterans Court was right to consider this sort of subsidiary question of the correct application of 3.156, and now the veteran has directly appealed that sliver of an issue to this court, such that the court would have jurisdiction, the appeal still fails. Because what the Veterans Court was considering in that sliver of a discussion was whether the 2015 board correctly applied 3.156C. That's not what the veteran is now arguing in this court. He's not actually challenging the Veterans Court's discussion of 3.156C in the 2015 board, right? He's jumped back in time to argue now that actually the 2013 board didn't have jurisdiction and the matter should have gone someplace else procedurally. The arguments are different. So even if this court has jurisdiction to consider that sort of unique discussion the panel points to in the Veterans Court decision, that's not what the veteran is now raising in this court. It's a different issue. So again, the appeal should be dismissed. Further in the alternative, if the court is going to consider jurisdiction or entertain this appeal in substance, we would submit that there is no failure of reconsideration. My learned colleague is focused on what happened in 2007, but this case is a long procedural posture that goes well past 2007. There was not, using the buzzword, reconsideration of 3.156C in 2007, but the parties recognized that at the time, right? The veteran filed a notice of disagreement. It then proceeded up the steps until reconsideration was required and remanded, and then by 2013, that reconsideration took place. It was a retrospective medical opinion. The VA, not the board, engaged in that reconsideration. Let me just pull up the timeline here. So in 2013, the 2013 board remanded to the ratings officer for a retrospective opinion of when the veteran...
Joint motion to remand, right?
It was a joint motion to remand, right.
So they wanted it too.
They wanted it too, which we also point out in terms of considering ultimately on the merits, if there's any prejudice here, doctrines like estoppel and waiver would preclude the veteran from now challenging on appeal something that he asked for and got earlier in the proceedings. But in any event, the reconsideration, that substantive reconsideration required by 3.156C, is apparent in the record. There was a development of the claim in 2007 after the new service records were affiliated. There was again, development of the claim and an exercise of the duty to assist in 2013, such that by the time we get to 2014 and the board is again considering an appeal, the board explains, look at all of the evidence we've considered, the VA has considered, right? They've considered lay statements from the veteran. They've considered private treatment records. They consider Social Security Administration records, VA exams, C&P exams, a retrospective medical opinion. And specifically in 2014, the board considered whether or not the duties to notify and the duties to assist were satisfied and concluded that they were consistent with 3.156C. To the extent the appellant now is arguing that there was some sort of misinterpretation between, or application in section 3.156C, that somehow C1 was skipped and they went straight to C3. There is nothing in the regulation that requires, as the appellant would suggest, that the retrospective medical opinion happens only after all of C1 is adjudicated, right? This is a process. It's a holistic process. The retrospective medical opinion is meant to put the veteran in the position he or she would have been in when the original claim was adjudicated with the service records that were subsequently found, right? We don't, the VA doesn't want to prejudice the veteran if there were service records that should have been part of the file that weren't, right? So if we find new records and then we associate them after denying an original claim, we go back and reconsider the original claim. A retrospective medical opinion would be part and parcel of that. I would also say that the appellant's reading of section subsection C3 as being somehow a separate step apart from C1 and only after would not actually make sense in practice, right? Because if C1 required a reconsideration without a retrospective medical opinion, and the evidence wasn't there to support service connection, you'd never get to C3. You'd never get to the retrospective medical opinion. That's there to help develop the claim and to put the veteran back in the position that they would have been in had there not been this late addition of service department records. I'll also point out that there is no procedural requirement that somehow C3 comes later, because the VA always has the ability and the discretion to require any kind of medical opinion, quote, when necessary to make a decision on a claim. So that's within the context of 3.156C, but any other context as well. And that statutory citation is 38 USC 5103A D1 and 38 CFR 3.159C4 little I. So we would submit that this argument about skipping C1 and going to C3 is a red herring. But in any event, even if, for still further in the alternative, the court were to find that there was a procedural error somewhere in this process, the veteran has not carried their burden to establish any, that the error, but for the error, the outcome would have been any manifestly different than it was, as would be required for Q, or prejudicial, as would be required for a non-Q error. Because at the end of the day, the veteran received service connection for PTSD and received the date of entitlement to which he was entitled pursuant to 3.156C3, the later date of either the original claim, 1997, or 2003, the first evidence of PTSD. There is no competent evidence in the record to support any earlier finding of PTSD. As the various boards articulated, there is some passing lay evidence that there were other health conditions prior to 2003, but the VA was well within its discretion to find that 2003 was the first evidence of onset. For those reasons, we ask first and foremost that this court dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. If this court is inclined to accept jurisdiction on some aspect of the appeal, we submit that the Veterans Court decision should be affirmed.
Thank you, Ms. Finnan. Mr. Carpenter has 2 minutes to rebuttal.
May it please the court, I direct the court's attention to appendix at 167. That is page 10 of the 2015 board decision. In the first full paragraph on the page, after the sentence that says what the moving party is not asserting, the board says, rather, it is the moving party's contention that the September 2014 decision contains Q because it, quote, imposed burdens that required the provisions of 38 CFR 3.156C. As discussed above, however, the arguments advanced in support of that contention amount to nothing more than a disagreement with how the facts were weighed and evaluated the evidence. Furthermore, it is not shown that if the board phrased its analysis in terms of, quote, supported adequately by medical evidence, parens, as stated in 3.156C, close parens, that the outcome in this case would have been manifestly different. That was the question of law that we presented to the Veterans Court in the first instance. He had a right to challenge the board decision in 2015. His challenge to the Veterans Court was a legal question, in which the board then relied upon its own misinterpretation of that regulation. This is not about a reexamination of these prior decisions and proceedings. It's to use those prior proceedings to put them into a context. And the context is that this gentleman filed in 1997, didn't get his service records into the record until 2007. He ended up with a 2003 effective date. Effectively, the VA denied him 6 years worth of benefits because they never re-adjudicated his 1997 claim. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, both counsel. The case is submitted.